Tyler Green from Soccer Talk Vancouver, the host of the podcast, will be joining us here and talking about the FIFA World Cup. Good morning, Tyler. I know you were on with us on Friday, so appreciate you joining us again here on short notice this morning.
Oh, no problem. You know, anytime Batch needs something, I'm
there. Batch is the guy. And in about 20 minutes, we're going to see the semifinals begin here over in Russia. We were just talking about France versus Belgium and what would happen between these two seemingly evenly matched teams, although one has had a much trickier and tougher road to even get to the semis. Tyler, what do you see happening this morning?
You know what? I see just a fun game to watch. Both teams can go forward. They know how to defend, but they know how to go forward and just create chances. So, you know, if anything, regardless of who wins, I think we're in for an entertaining affair. And I think that if you're a soccer fan, that's kind of the biggest thing you're probably looking for.
They're both teams that play with pace, aren't they? And because of that, I think the counter-attacking possibilities for both sides could make it very exciting, whether it's a young Kylian Mbappe for the French side, or if you look at the wealth of striking options and goal-scoring options that Belgium have in terms of Lukaku and De Bruyne and Hazard. Who do you give the edge to in that regard, if that's even a fair question, because both sides have so much attacking power?
Yeah, there's two things that I look at. One is sort of the way that the teams are lined up in their formation. And you look at Belgium, where they only have three at the back. I think if you have a guy like Mbappe, who you mentioned, if he can get down that wing, you know, he's going to have acres of space back there to start going and really trying to do stuff. And it's really going to be, when you look at it, is it going to be, you know, is De Bruyne going to be the guy that's going to have to now turn around and start defending him more than going forward? So you're going to see that battle. But with three at the back for Belgium, I just think there's that little bit of an advantage for the French side, playing out a little bit wider and getting balls in and seeing what they can do and maybe hitting a Giroud. And then if the ball falls out just outside the box, you've got guys like Pogba or Griezmann who can take the shots from just outside the 18 and get opportunities for them. So I think there's just that little bit of an advantage to the French team.
Tyler Green joining us here on Sportsnet 650. It is the playbook. We've talked about the attacking options for both of these teams, but John and I were just discussing before we brought you on. It's been a relatively easy path to this point in the tournament for the French, beating Argentina and Uruguay to get here, whereas Belgium had to come from behind against Japan, and then they had to knock off arguably the favorite to win the entire tournament in Brazil. Do you think that plays a factor in that Belgium has seen some adversity, whereas France has had a relatively easy road?
Well, I like how you say it's been an easy road against teams like Argentina, who are in the World Cup by the last time.
They've made it look easy, that's for sure.
They have made it look easy, and I think that's just a testament to how good that team is. The French side is just, they're firing on all cylinders, it seems. They've got so many different weapons, so many ways that they can beat you. And then you look at, really a coming out party for Mbappe. And so I think those are the type of things that have done well for them. When you look at Belgium, though, yeah, they have had adversity. They've had a game against Japan where they've had to, look at it and be a team that has say, hey, we can't take anything for granted. We've got to really work and get there. And I think you saw that in a performance from, Lukaku against Brazil. He was absolutely a beast in that game and just seemingly could do whatever he wanted. And so, I think this is a team now that all of a sudden has kind of flipped the switch, realized what they need to do. So, like I said, this one's so close. It's really tough to call, but I think both teams really know what it's going to take to take that game. And yeah, different paths. One's a little easier, but because they're so good. Another one's adversity, but has made them probably even that much better.
Iron sharpening iron. I can sort of understand where you're coming from that. But the 3-5-2, yeah, it's a bit of a perplexing one. We'll see exactly how long Belgium decides that is going to be the strategy for them. We are talking with Tyler Green, the host of the Soccer Vancouver podcast here, Soccer Talk Vancouver podcast here on Sportsnet 650. And Tyler, just quickly forecasting tomorrow's matchup as well between England and Croatia. Brendan Batchelor here, of course, the big English fan. He knows it's coming home. He believes it's coming home. Do you see that happening in reality? Or are English fans about to get their hearts broken tomorrow morning?
You know what? I know that John, you and I have talked about this on some other shows, but it's like this England team is just so young and inexperienced in terms of these competitions that they don't know any better. You know, they don't know any better than just going out there and playing their hearts out and trying to win games and finding ways to win games. And, you know, they've had some adversity too with, you know, penalty saves and getting over that stumbling block of actually winning on penalty kicks. And so I feel like they, you know, are almost too stupid to realize what they, what they're doing or what they think they need to be doing. But I really like what they have in terms of, you know, the different dynamics, and we're seeing guys like Maguire show up and all of a sudden really make his presence known. Stones is just solid in the back as well. And then you've just got a bunch of guys that are really showing what they can do. But at the same time, you know, you look at this Croatian team and you just think of that midfield that they have on this team, you know, guys that are playing for Real Madrid, Barcelona, like the best teams in the world. And they're put together and just, they just have this almost this massive team attitude of this is what we need to do. This is how we're going to do it. So that, again, it's just two kind of completely different looks at teams. And I think these are probably two of the best semifinal games that we might get an opportunity to see here of late.
With the midfield of Croatia, obviously Luka Modric has had a whale of a tournament. How worried should England fans be about his ability alone to impact the game? And when you get into these single-game knockouts, it often comes down to whose team's best players show up on the day, doesn't it?
It does, definitely. And that's something that they're really going to have to look at, really make sure that that they're making taking a close eye on Modric. But then you look at, okay, well, here's, you know, Rakitic, he might beat you then if you give him too much space. But it's really going to come down to, I think, when you look at it, you know, guys like, you know, if Eric Dier gets in there, maybe he's going to have to make sure that you know, he's really sitting back and being good defending wise, or, you know, maybe Jordan Henderson has to fill that role and make sure that something doesn't happen for them. But, you know, you can't obviously pay too much attention because that's going to open up the field for other guys, but you got to make sure that he doesn't score and he's the guy that's going to beat you. So very tricky matchup, definitely, I think, for both teams with what they have. So it's going to be fun to, again, it's just, like I said, it's fun to watch and just edge your seat, but you know, both I think are just too close to call at this point.
Tyler Green, the host of the Soccer Talk Vancouver podcast, with us here on the Playbook on Sportsnet 650 for a couple more minutes, and we're going to get into Cristiano Ronaldo in just a second, but indulge me in another question about England. And I think Raheem Sterling is a player that has been somewhat divisive at this tournament. In my opinion, he's really sort of stretched defenses and given clubs trouble with his pace. The other side of that factor is he's created a lot of chances that he hasn't scored on. How have you seen his impact for England, and will it be incredibly important that he actually takes chances if he gets them in that match tomorrow?
Well, if you get the chances, you definitely want to take them. That's going to be huge if he can start scoring some goals. And the thing is about Raheem Sterling, and, you know, people have hated the fact that he hasn't been able to score, and they've been very furious about that. But when you start creating those chances and you start creating that space, all of a sudden you're getting a little bit more attention, and that's going to open up a space for, say, a Harry Kane, or maybe you know, like Dele Alli, you know, he scored his goal where it was, you know, guys are trying to pay attention to other guys a little too much. So you get those opportunities and you get that little bit of space opening up for guys. So for me, what he's doing is great. Would you like to see him score goals? Of course. Every coach is going to want to sit there and want his player to score goals when he gets the opportunities. I think they'll come for him. So for me, keep doing what you're doing. And, you know, if I'm his coach, if I'm Gareth Southgate, I'm patting him on the back and saying, hey, you're doing awesome. Keep doing what you're doing. You're opening space for other guys, and those chances will fall. If Raheem Sterling wasn't getting chances, wasn't getting opportunities, then I think I'm a little nervous. And maybe I'm looking to make a change, but the fact that he's getting those open looks, you know, forcing the goalkeeper to make saves, forcing defenses to chase him, I'm happy with that right now.
About 10 minutes to go until match time, and hopefully it's going to be just a firecracker of a match, as some people expect it to be. Tyler, before we let you go so you can prepare and get ready for that game, quick thoughts on Cristiano Ronaldo now joining Juventus. It has been confirmed by both sides. Is it a bit of a surprising move to you now that he's taken his talents over to Italy, or does it make sense given where he's at in his particular career?
Well, there was always kind of talk that he was going to move at some point and go somewhere else. There was talk that, you know, maybe back to England. So not overly surprised that he is making the move to another team. Really, when you look at it, though, with some of the other moves that Juventus has already made previous to this move, really looks like there's sort of this power shift in soccer. And sort of when you look at Champions League, when you look at Serie A, all of a sudden Juventus is obviously the front runner to win Serie A now. They are now going to be one of the favorites to win the Champions League again. So really kind of a shift in power, and obviously just huge for Juventus in terms of world recognition again. All of a sudden, you're going to see so many more people wearing a Ronaldo Juventus jersey. They're going to make boatloads of money on this signing, and I think just get them that more attention that what they, you know, already currently get. They're just gonna, it's going to be huge for them, and very exciting to see what happens now in Europe and how everything kind of falls, and what does Real Madrid do to make things, you know, keep pace? What does, you know, Paris Saint-Germain, what does Manchester City do? So there's all these different pieces that are going to fall. What are the teams in Serie A going to do now to try to keep pace? So it's going to be fun to watch over the next few weeks now.
They've paid a premium to bring him in, have Juventus, Tyler, in 100 million euros in the transfer market. He is 33 years old, so he'll have an immediate impact. But how many good years do you see Cristiano Ronaldo having left in him for Juventus?
You know, I can see Ronaldo having, you know, another two, three good, very good years. And then he's going to have to maybe look at changing his game a little bit. Is he going to be the same type of player? Is he going to have to, you know, maybe be more of, you know, not trying to use the speed that he has, you know, not trying to beat players? Is he going to have to maybe think the game a little more, become more of a sort of that number 10, number, you know, is he going to be something that's a little bit different, I guess, is what I'm trying to say, and then reinvent himself a little bit, but still be good enough to change games. And I think that's the one thing. He's always going to be able to change the game with a free kick. Is he going to be able to beat guys with pace or trickery with the fancy footwork that he has? Maybe not. So maybe he's going to have to change his style slightly, but I think he's still going to be, he's just too good not to be impactful for a number of years to come.
Sportsnet 650.